Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm still trying to recover from last night's program. Good God in heaven, what happened? We really had some intense phone calls, didn't we? Huh? These are intense times. We're all intense. We should be in brick houses, but we're all intense. No, never mind. You know, this bears repeating. We mentioned it the other night, and I think I should mention it again. Roz in Canada sent it to me again. There's an LA Times story reporting that nearly half of all the foreign militants that are killing U.S. troops in Iraq and who are involved in suicide bombings that is that are killing Iraqi civilians, nearly half of all of those militants come from Saudi Arabia. The Bush crime families, the Bush family, Pappy Bush and George Bush and Marvin Bush and the rest of these Bush bastards, these are their business partners and have been for 40 years. The Saudi royal family, this is where the troops are coming from that are killing half the troops, militants that are killing American soldiers and Iraqi civilians. And have you heard a word from this filthy little man in the White House, George Bush, or his filthy puppeteer, Dick Cheney, criticizing Saudi Arabia's role in Iraq? No, you haven't. What have you heard? You have heard that the titular president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, who has no power whatsoever, talks about destroying Israel and is sending foreign fighters into Iraq to kill Americans. This is the thing that I get so sick of. Just absolutely, it just eats at me, right? Like termites eating at a wooden house. It drives me crazy. Why doesn't, I realize LA Times is part of mainstream media. I understand that. How many people read the LA Times? Okay, people in LA, hello. Why doesn't Wolf Blitzer, the former U-boat commander and Mossad agent, now CNN chief correspondent for something, and the newscast, I don't know, the guy seems like he's on television 13 hours a day. Why doesn't Wolf Blitzer or Charlie Gibson or any of these people tell you and tell me what the LA Times has reported? That half of the foreign militants going into Iraq to kill our troops are Bush family. They come from the country run by Bush family business partners. Now, who funded the madrasas in Afghanistan? If we are going to accept, let's pretend, if we are going to accept the official story of what happened on September 11, 2001 in this country, if we're going to accept that, and let's pretend, who funded the militants? The Saudis did. What is Osama bin Laden? A Saudi. It just doesn't stop. Of the 19 bombers who came to this country to wreak death and destruction, again, we're playing pretend that we believe the official story. Of the 19 bombers, 15 of them were Saudis. The Bush crime family and the Bush blood family never, ever, ever, ever criticizes the Saudis. And they are the ones killing the troops that George W. Bush sends into Iraq. This is madness. This is just, I mean, it's nothing more than an outrage. Oh, well. Now, a little bit more focus on the that part of the bloody Middle East, Iraq. Apparently, Turkey's military has invaded Iraq and has bombarded northern areas of the country. They're killing Kurds because the Turks want all the Kurds dead. Turds? No, Kurds. Be careful, Mike. The Turks want all the Kurds dead. The Iraqi government says that Turkey has started bombing the northern part of Iraq. the Iraqi government said yesterday, and again, I didn't. Did you see that? Was this on the news? Was this in the New York Times? I don't know. I got this from Press TV. That's the name of it. And various Middle Eastern agencies. The Iraqi government said Wednesday the Turkish artillery and warplanes bombarded areas of northern Iraq, and the Iraqi government urged Turkey to stop it and sit down and talk. The claim occurred amid mounting Turkish threats to strike bases of PKK, that's the Kurdistan Workers' Party, which has been launching attacks against targets in Turkey. I don't know for how long, 50 years? Who is this guy? Government spokesman for this toy government, this quisling government that we have in Turkey. A spokesman said, we have received reports the Turkish government, the Turkish army have bombed border villages. The Iraqi government regrets the Turkish military operations and wishes they would quit. God. And let's see, was it last week? Iraqi Foreign Minister so-and-so declared that Turkey had deployed 150,000 soldiers along its border with Iraq. Okay. George W. Bush has really turned out to be a drunk 19-year-old who's handed a box of matches and told to go play in the shed where we keep the dynamite. And there he is. I mentioned this at my website today, and it's at the little blogette that we put at Nova M Radio about Jim Mikliszewski, or as I used to have to write his name when I wrote scripts for him, James Allen Mikliszewski. This guy is supposed to be a reporter for NBC. Now, NBC has a policy that says their anchors are prohibited from personally accepting speaking fees, and anyone who did so would be at risk of being fired. Now, that was said last year when Media Matters for America noted the apparent conflict of interest and violation of NBC's ban on paid speaking gigs when Chris Matthews received tens of thousands of dollars in exchange for delivering speeches to corporate interest groups. But Mikliszewski takes it one step further. He took $30,000 from the Chamber of Commerce in Providence, Rhode Island, in apparent violation of the policy on speaking engagements, and then slammed John Edwards, the Democratic Party a candidate for president, as a loser. He went on to say let me see, where is it? He called him a loser for attempting to defend a pricey haircut. Now, it's reasonable to assume, according to Media Matters, that Edwards' economic policies, his focus on poverty and health care and the gap between rich and poor, aren't very popular at the Chamber of Commerce. For example, Edwards has said he would repeal the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans in order to pay for his health care proposal, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, in 2006, U.S. Chamber of Commerce gave nearly 500% more money to Republicans than Democrats, blah, 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 blah. But put simply, an NBC correspondent, James Allen Mikliszewski, took $30,000 from this business lobby to give a speech. Then during the speech, he attacked a candidate whose policies the business lobby opposes. Is that unethical? I think it is, isn't it? Isn't that, doesn't Mikliszewski have a reputation to uphold as an alleged objective source of information on air? Calling a candidate, a presidential candidate, a loser would be absurd enough, but doing it after taking $30,000 is scandalous?
border to border and coast to coast. The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
This is a kind of a cool email. It comes from Italics 12. Italics 12 writes, "My son went to Mac camp today." I guess that's a Macintosh computer. "It takes place at the Mac store. I have to stay in the store until the three-hour class is over. Last time it was horrible. Today I wore my Enough t-shirt. The staff was asking questions about it. By the time I left the store, everyone who worked there had read the executive order blocking property of certain persons who threaten stabilization efforts in Iraq." That's what we read on the air last night. "The 20-something men were floored. Several accused me of lying until they read the information right off the White House website. When I left, everyone was talking. Thanks. I'm learning how to spread the word." Yeah, it's amazing how that works. Next Tuesday, we are going to have Joe Wilson on this program, Ambassador Joe Wilson. And obviously one of the things we're going to talk about is what happened today. A federal judge, John Bates of the U.S. District Court in D.C., a Bush appointee, dismissed the civil lawsuit filed against some of the top Bush crime family criminals by former CIA operative Valerie Plame and her husband. This judge, let me tell you a little bit about this judge. He's a Bush appointee, of course, who previously dismissed a lawsuit filed by the federal government against Vice President Dick Cheney. The suit sought access to Cheney's Energy Task Force documents. Now, you know, the federal government. Actually, it was a General Accountability Office administration, that part of the government. But this judge said, can't see. As Jason Leopold writes today at Truthout, since his tenure on the federal bench began 6 years ago, Bates' legal opinions and rulings supporting the administration's executive powers stand in stark contrast to his legal work as an assistant U.S. attorney. You see, back in the day, Truth Seekers, he worked for Ken Starr, the pornographic, psychopathic jerkwater who insisted on going after Bill Clinton's Whitewater investment deals and wound up putting on the Internet what only can be described as a huge chunk of pornographic material that Starr must have thoroughly enjoyed having typed while he sat there in his underpants and watched the person type it into a file to go on the Internet. Now, in 1997, you see, when Bates was working for Ken Starr, he successfully argued for the release of thousands of pages of White House documents related to Hillary Clinton's conversations about Whitewater. In January 2003... Pat Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, suggested that this judge was a hypocrite by pursuing access to White House documents when Clinton was in office. But on the other hand, he supported Cheney's claims of executive privilege in refusing to turn over his Energy Task Force documents to Congress. So another, you see where Jason Leopold's going with this and what most people who have, an IQ at least that of room temperature will go. And that is Judge Bates is a partisan son of a bitch who dismissed this lawsuit as part of the continuing cover up of what this Bush crime family has done. Leahy said, quote, "When that guy was working for Ken Starr, he wanted to go open the dresser drawers of the White House. I guess it's a lot different when a Republican is vice president," end quote. Yeah, well, I guess so. And since 2001, this fake judge has been a staunch supporter of the White House's assertion of executive privilege and a wide range of controversial legal challenges by third parties. This is a judge that says it's none of your business, it's none of your business, it's none of your business. Bates' support of the Bush administration's position on secrecy was instrumental in getting himself appointed to the FISA court. Huh? Now, that court, of course, you know, was set up by Congress in 1978 to monitor domestic spying. And this pissy judge was appointed after the Bush administration said, well, we'll start using the court to obtain domestic surveillance warrants. We're sorry. We've been breaking the law repeatedly, hundreds of thousands of times. But from now on, we won't do it anymore. And we have this judge who's going to make sure we don't do it anymore. And he's from the Bates Hotel, and his name is John Bates. Bates was appointed to that FISA court by Chief Justice John Roberts in February. He replaced a judge who resigned in protest following the reports that the White House circumvented the court and spied on American citizens at will. Now, as a judge on the FISA court, this Bates thug reviews Alberto Gonzalez's applications for domestic spying activities in the U.S., and Judge Bates has a final say on whether to approve the requests. Can you freaking believe this? It just, I don't know, every night I come on this program, and I say, well, it couldn't be worse tonight than it was the night before. What is left? What are we going to find? George Bush in bed with a python doing weird things with his old lady? Oh, my God!
Life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Also, it's 26 before the hour. I got an email from Valerie in Oakland, California. It says, Mike, maybe you've mentioned it, but encourage listeners to wear orange on Monday coming, July 23rd, in solidarity with Cindy Sheehan and others as they arrive in Washington to pressure Congress to impeach and stop the war. Yeah, orange. Okay, do that. Joe Wilson on the program, as I mentioned, next Tuesday. And the order by the court today, this Judge Bates, they let him out of the Bates Hotel, and he ruled against the lawsuit by this effectively ends. I guess they can pursue an appeal. The Wilsons, but this effectively completes the cover-up. Irving Lewis Libby, who was the only one convicted, and he was convicted of lying to keep the truth. I mean, he did his job to keep the truth from ever coming out so that no one would be prosecuted. And, of course, Bush immediately pardons him, which just how many people has Bush pardoned in his filthy life? How many people got pardons down in Florida, huh? I'm sorry, in Texas, before they went screaming into the gas chamber for electric chair or injection, whatever the hell they do, hanging, rifle shots, red ants. I don't know what they do and how they execute people in Texas. But how many did George Bush commute? How many innocent people were executed in Florida on his and Gonzalez's watch? 10, 15, 20, 6, 100, who knows? Who cares, right? But the cover-up of this Plame affair is now locked down. It's just absolutely, this is how it works. If you're not in a complete militarized totalitarian state like, say, oh, I don't know, think of one, Soviet Union, if you're not in that yet, then what do? Well, you get your thugs in federal judgeship positions. You get your thugs operating inside the White House. You get your thugs running like rats through the halls of Congress. You get everybody coordinated. Then when something like this comes up, it's very easy to shut everything down. Every channel, every avenue of information, it's all gone. And then to make sure that the pesky courts don't strip something away from the rat hole and show what really happened. You make sure that the judges in the pesky courts are on the take, too. Hence, Mr. Bates. I hate these people. I just hate these people. Oh, my God. And I still can't recover from Russ Feingold's statement that was posted at Daily Kos, that he's not going to pursue even a conversation. Of course, there's nothing Russ Feingold can do. He's not in the House. He's in the Senate. But, you know, this is a guy who once took the lead in opposing Bush and Cheney's abuses of power. and they're urinating all over the U.S. Constitution. He filed a motion in the Senate of censure. How long ago was that? A million years ago. In a Daily Coast diary, he wrote that while he agreed that Bush and Cheney, quote, may well have committed impeachable offenses, end quote, he doesn't support impeachment. That doesn't make any sense to me. While this defendant may well have committed murder, I don't support sending him to trial. That's all impeachment is, Russ. Hello, Russ! It's not even a trial. It's a preliminary hearing. It's a grand jury hearing. It's where an indictment can come down. You don't even want to go that far, eh, Russ? He said he worries about the great deal of time multiple impeachment trials would take away from the Congress working on the problems of the country. We don't have any problems, Russ, except Bush and Cheney. They are the fountainhead of the problems. Oh, my God. Now Russ Feingold. Who's left? Well, Dennis Kucinich. And he's in the hospital. I wish I could ask Senator Feingold what problems Congress is actually working on, or what problems it can even try to work on. It's all meaningless because no matter what happens, Bush vetoes it. You saw what happened the other night with the cots and the pizzas. All the Republicans have to do is what you and I used to beg the Democrats to do, and that is threaten and then follow through with the threats for a filibuster or have a zombie-like spy on our side like they have, Joe Lieberman. Jesus God. What, Russ? What? Feingold said in his diary the other day, quote, the time it would take for the House to consider articles of impeachment and for the Senate to conduct multiple trials would make it very difficult, if not impossible, for Congress to do what it was elected to do, end the war, and address some of the other terrible mistakes this administration has made over the past 6.5 years. Russ, they weren't mistakes. They were deliberate, conscious, criminal actions. Why is Russ Feingold calling them mistakes? A mistake is when you put on brown shoes with a blue suit. That's a mistake, Russ. These are criminal acts. The Constitution says nothing. Screw the Constitution. The entire Clinton impeachment process took 4 months. Oh, God. I don't know. Dave Lindorf, writing at Common Dreams, says, it's hard to believe that these words are even coming from a man, Feingold, who only a year ago was out front calling for censure of the president by the Senate. Lindorf writes, Feingold tries to duck his leadership responsibility by claiming he has, quote, a specific role to play as a sworn impartial juror should an impeachment be tried in the Senate, end quote. That, however, is nonsense. In no way does the Constitution state, nor did the founders ever imagine, that senators in an impeachment trial would be impartial in the way that petty jurors in a criminal trial must be impartial. There is no jury selection process at which biased senators are removed from the trial. All senators, with all their political baggage, are automatically part of the jury. Feingold clearly is being disingenuous here. He does have a role to play. As Lindorf writes, as someone who understands the grievous crimes of this administration, Senator Feingold should be pressing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to stop blocking impeachment. He should be following the honorable and courageous path being paved by California Senator Barbara Boxer, who told the Speaker that, quote, no one can take impeachment off the table, end quote, and who warned Pelosi that the U.S. is, quote, closer to dictatorship than it has ever been in history, end quote. And as Lindorf writes rather poignantly here, I remember when Senator Paul Wellstone was tragically killed in a plane crash, thinking, well, at least we have Russ Feingold. That was then. This is now. What would Senator Wellstone be doing today? Certainly he wouldn't be ducking his responsibility to stand up in defense of the Constitution as Feingold is doing. Russ, Lindorf writes, wake up. You can't fight Bush and Cheney with bills, and they made it clear you can't investigate him with committees and subpoenas. These two power-crazed criminals and Constitution wreckers are thumbing their noses at you and your colleagues on both sides of the aisle. They're laughing right now at your pathetic cop-out. There's only one possible avenue of counterattack against these guys. Impeachment. Jesus. When I saw that diary, Feingold's diary, at Daily Coast the other day, it was just absolutely heartbreaking. Like, no, I'm not really reading this. No. Yes. And now Russ Feingold. What do we do now? Oh my God. Oh well. All right, we have a break coming up here. When we come back, we're going to take some phone calls. I'd like to do a lot of phone calls tonight, if you're in the mood for it. If not, I have reams of stuff here that I can get to, but let's do some phone calls tonight. We don't do that a lot. I want to be more like Jeff Farias, who takes lots of phone calls. That's what his promo says. Bless his heart. I love Jeff Farias. He's a great musician, too. And my show is caller-driven, which means we take lots of calls. I like that. Let's do some caller-driven talk radio tonight. I don't know. Can I do that? Am I capable of doing that, Kathy, without losing my mind? Let's try it. The number here is 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. And if any of you little conservative weasels want to call in and give it a shot, bring it on.
You know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
Before the hour, one last thing here. Well, actually, I got a couple last things here, but there are bombs falling all over the place now. In Pakistan, dozens killed. Two bombs exploded in Pakistan, killing at least 32 people. I think it's obvious that Musharraf's time over there, the military dictator and good Bush buddy, his time is limited. Somebody's going to assassinate him very soon now. The attack the other day on this Red Mosque, where over 100 people were killed, among them lots of women and kids, has resulted now in an absolute upheaval, a violent upheaval reaction in Pakistan. So the car bombs and the suicide bombers are going off now in Pakistan and Afghanistan Lebanon and Iraq, and probably soon once again in Israel. Where else? I think Saudi Arabia will be on the list coming fairly quickly. This is all the result of the utter and absolute criminal neglect to very real problems that exist in the Middle East, that this country, of all countries, and the UK, because the UK helped form these problems, helped cause these problems, that the UK and the US should have been working diligently, just working their asses off to stop this, instead of sitting around figuring out who to invade next, who to destabilize, who to overthrow. What can we do next? Well, let's get the oil. Well, but it's theirs. Oh, screw them. Let's get it anyway. So now it's Pakistan. And they almost got a bunch of Chinese. One of the blasts, which killed 25 people, including 7 police, occurred just after a team of Chinese engineers traveling to Karachi had passed all 7 policemen in the vehicle behind the Chinese were killed. The Chinese were not killed. They weren't even wounded. Can you imagine what's going to happen when Chinese engineers and metallurgists or whatever the hell they are wind up dead? But Pakistan and Kurdistan and Turkey and northern Iraq and, oh, my God. George W. Bush. Do you want a phone number that Nancy Pelosi has put out there? Paul sent it to me from Jupiter, Florida. A couple other people have sent it in. Pelosi has a phone number specifically to voice your opinion on impeachment, I guess. I don't want to call it, because if I called it up, I'd probably scream some sort of profanity into the phone, like, you know, what do you want from me? You're the Speaker of the House. But if you want it, it's area code 202. The number is 225-0100, 225-0100. And it's area code 202, 225-0100. So, all right, phone calls. Let's start with Mike, who's calling from Chicago, listening on WCPT. Mike, welcome to the program. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine.
You know what? I'm just like you, Mike. I am speechless. I read that Feingold piece on DemocraticUnderground.com, and I literally almost fell out of my chair when I read it. I was just like, this is unbelievable. And last week, I'm listening to the radio. I don't even know what show it was on, and the guy had Harry Reid on there.
Yeah.
And Harry Reid said that impeachment's off the table, and I almost got into a traffic accident.
Yeah.
And I mean, when are these Democrats going to learn that we got a fanatic in the White House? I mean,
two of them.
More than two of them, the whole administration.
Well, that's true, yeah.
But right before the 2000, people forget right before the 2004 election, the Democrats were out there saying, you know, the election cycle's coming up. He's going to have to withdraw down some of the troops because he doesn't want to, lose the election. In 2006, they said the same thing. And then what does he do? After 2006, he gets a Democratic Congress in. And then come January of 2007, he goes ahead and has a surge. I mean, this guy's a fanatic. And
he knows. You know what it is, Mike? He knows that the Democratic Party leadership is going to do nothing, absolutely nothing. Look, if this guy was able to get Sammy the Fish Alito confirmed to the Supreme Court, if he's able to get John the Quiet Man Roberts confirmed to the Supreme Court, and all these federal judges, if he was able to get all this stuff passed to Democrats, well, those of us who are members of the Democratic Party sat out here and screamed our guts out, please filibuster, please stop this one, and they didn't. Well, we're going to wait for something important. Bush and Cheney know. And the Republican Party leadership also knows that the Democratic Party leadership is nothing. It's mush.
That's what it is. But
it's absolute mush. You push against it and your finger goes right to the center. So, what are you going to do?
But they're enablers. They enable the war. They enable Alito. They enable Roberts. They keep going down this path and they keep saying, well, we don't have time for impeachment. And the reason why we don't have time for impeachment is because we have bigger issues to resolve. Well, the thing is, there's not going to be a constitution left. I mean, there's not going to be a constitution left if they keep going the way they're going. This guy is a sociopath, and they say when you have a sociopath, every time you go in there and you rescue a sociopath, they become more and more dangerous. This guy, this 41 and Barbara Bush, every time this guy got in trouble with the Christmas wreath, the DUI, the cocaine bust, the Harkin energy, everything down the line, they went in there and rescued this guy, and now we're stuck with him.
I hear you, Mike. I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate
All right,
you checking
take care.
In. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. Brian in Lincoln, Nebraska writes, Mike, does it seem strange to you that after all this rhetoric of late about allowing fewer presidential candidates to participate in the debates, specifically wanting to exclude Congressman Kucinich, that he mysteriously comes down with food poisoning just days before the upcoming CNN YouTube debate? Oh, my God. Yeah, Brian's referring to that open mic thing between, who was it, Obama and Clinton? Well, we ought to get rid of these second-tier candidates. Oh, Jesus, yeah, I know. Back to your phone calls here. Steve is calling from California, listening on the Quake. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine and dandy. Thank you very much.
Good.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the lack of participation in the impeachment of Bush. Maybe think Karl Rove has something on everybody.
How could that be? I think Larry Flint has something on everybody. But,
well, you know, Karl Rove, he's kind of a sneaky guy that way. You know, he's his investigation team runs deep and wide, so you never know.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a possibility. But even if he had pictures of Nancy Pelosi and Barbara Boxer doing weird things to each other, don't you think that the American public would still appreciate Pelosi getting impeachment on the table?
Oh, I absolutely. You know, they could use it as a tool.
Yeah.
You know, use it as a tool to make him bend a little bit, you know.
Well, you may be right. You may be right. I wouldn't be surprised. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate
You're welcome.
Appreciate your call. Take care. Email here from our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief, Mary Ann. She writes, Hi there, Mike. I just wrote the director of volunteer coordination for the yearly COAST convention, telling her that I'm not be helping out at the convention here in Chicago in August. I won't even be attending. I've been so sickened and disappointed with the Democrats this year and can't really support any of the viable candidates we have. Having utterly failed in their leadership roles in the Senate, our three top-tier candidates think they can do better in the White House? We can't wait until January 2009. There is the duty that the Constitution demands, and Obama and Clinton refuse to even mention. In addition, I'm very angry with the attacks on Cindy Sheehan coming from our side, now from the Daily Coast. She's showing courage. Pelosi and Reid represent an American Gothic portrait of cowardice. If the current bunch of criminals aren't brought to heel now, the 2008 election really won't matter. As someone mentioned yesterday, do we really think that Bush and company is going through all this trouble, grabbing extra constitutional power just to hand it to Hillary? I want to focus my energies, Marianne writes, on the problem at hand. I'm marching with Cindy from our Aurora bureau chief. Yeah, that was a good point that one of the callers made last night, I believe. This usurpation of power, this this collection of presidential directives and orders and signing statements and all this criminal activity that Cheney and Bush and the rest of these thugs are involved in. And this is all being done to hand it over to Hillary? Oh, I don't think so. Oh, my God. Listen to this. This is from, who sent this to me? Larry. Larry writes, Mike, I don't want to say what he writes because that would give this away, but he sent me some excerpts from a constitution written for the governance of people, and I want to share some of this with you. Here's Article 50. This concerns expression. In accordance with the interests of the people and in order to strengthen and develop our system, citizens of our country are guaranteed freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly and meetings and street processions and demonstrations. Exercise of these political freedoms is ensured by putting public buildings, streets, and squares at the disposal of the working people and their organizations, by broad dissemination of information, and by the opportunity to use the press, television, and radio. Article 51, this is about association. In accordance with the aims of building blank, citizens of our country, I'm changing the name of the country to our country, have the right to associate in public organizations that promote their political activity and initiative and satisfaction of their various interests. Public organizations are guaranteed conditions for successfully performing the functions defined in their rules. Religion, Article 52. Citizens of blank are guaranteed freedom of conscience, that is, the right to profess or not to profess any religion, and to conduct religious worship or atheistic propaganda. Incitement of hostility or hatred on religious grounds is prohibited. In our country, the church is separated from the state and the school from the church. On personal freedom, here's Article 54. Citizens of blank are guaranteed inviolability of the person. No one may be arrested except by a court decision or on a warrant. Article 55. Citizens of our country are guaranteed inviolability of the home. No one may, without lawful grounds, enter a home against the will of those residing in it. Article 56, privacy. The privacy of citizens and of their correspondence, telephone conversations, and communications, and other communications, is protected by law. And this is on last one, legal remedies. Article 57, respect for the individual and protection of the rights and freedoms of citizens are the duty of all state bodies, public organizations, and officials. Citizens of blank have the right to protection by the courts against encroachments on their honor and reputation, life and health, and personal freedom and property. And Larry writes, we think that our Constitution is a bulwark against totalitarianism. It is not. Why? Because these are excerpts from the Constitution of the Soviet Union. And Larry writes, Mike, we know that the Soviet Union was a police state. How did they get that way? Looking at their Constitution, it doesn't seem possible. They had a Bill of Rights. It mirrors ours. It obviously was not observed. Could we find ourselves in the same state? Absolutely. Thanks, Larry. It's been a long time since I've seen any excerpts from the Constitution of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, but I do remember that. I do remember at one time, oh my God, way back where, in the 50s or 60s? I must have been in the late 50s in high school when a civics teacher tried to explain to us little wide-eyed American high school students that things are not always what they seem. Back to your phone calls. Gail is calling from Brooklyn, New York, listening on the Internet. Hey, Gail, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I'm addressing this to Pelosi, and I'm addressing this to Reid. Okay. You both need to be removed from your positions. She does not deserve to be Speaker of the House, and he does not deserve to be the leader of the Senate. Okay. They have caused our country to not be America, but to become Nazi Germany, and they have allowed a person of the office of the president to turn into the Führer. And the people from both of their districts in California and Nevada, they need to be aware. Do not vote them back in, okay? Do not vote those people back in. They do not deserve to be into our government, okay? They need to be out. Do you know if there's a way of them to be removed from their positions, her from being Speaker and him from being Majority Leader in the Senate? They should be.
Well, only those positions are they are voted into those positions respectively by the members of the House and the Senate. Their constituents have nothing to do with that. Although Nancy Pelosi Cindy Sheehan is going to challenge her. Nancy Pelosi is up for election like all representatives every 2 years. So in 08, next year, Pelosi will be running to maintain her seat. Reid, I'm not sure. His term, of course, is 6 years. I don't know how much longer he's got to go. But their positions of Senate Majority Leader and Speaker of the House, those come are voted on by members of the Democratic Party caucus.
Because they're cowards. They are both cowards in the worst way. And they're just showing how much they absolutely hate America by letting those two people stay in office. They have turned this place into Nazi America, into Nazi Germany, and they got to go, okay? They hate America by not impeaching him. And I hope that somebody from their staff, from their district, are listening to this because they hate America by leaving them both in. And I hope that they get this. I hope they hear it. I hope that when Pelosi comes up for re-election, the people in her district are smart and they don't put her back in. And I'd sure like to know if anybody from her district is listening in, what they, you know, what they're thinking of.
All right. Let's see if anybody will respond. Gail, thanks a lot. I appreciate
you. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. A couple of quick emails here, then back to your phones. This is from Dave. Subject line, why impeachment is absolutely necessary. He writes, impeachment isn't just about throwing Bush and Cheney out of office. What's more important is saving face with the rest of the world. By not starting impeachment proceedings, the American people are telling everyone else that we condone what these miserable bastards have done and continue to do. Yeah, that's a good point. Speaking of good points, Eleanor writes, The statement I think I made, you think they've grabbed all this power just to hand it over to Hillary in 09, or what the caller made. Eleanor writes, it wasn't a, quote, good point. It was the point, the only point that's relevant now. It's the sole basic truth of today, and we need to think and operate in keeping with it because it is the only truth that matters now. And that is that they are not going to turn this sort of power over to Hillary. And this is from George in Alhambra, California. Mike, in a nutshell, the Democrats say they don't have time for impeachment. They claim there are many other important issues that need to be resolved. No kidding. Like all of the things the president should be impeached for. Let's see, illegal wars, illegal occupations, torture, corruption. They need to just put all of these things in one box and call it impeachment. All of the problems the Democrats say they are working on that they want to correct are the same things the president needs to be impeached for. Be a lot easier to correct these problems when the impeachment is over. Please, bring it on. George, one of the very first Nova M founding members. Yeah, you know, George's point, sure. Yeah, a lot of the House and the Senate's business right now is taken up with hearings on the criminal activity of these bastards. So, yeah, put everything in one box. Call it impeachment. Bring them to justice. And this is from Waimea, who writes, apropos the caller, Mike, his comment that the record of Bush's behavior showed that consequent on being caught for transgressions never led to improvements in a psychopath's behavior. And here's a quotation from Wikipedia where it concerns psychopathy or psychopathological behavior. It has been shown that punishment and behavior modification techniques do not improve the behavior of a psychopath. They have been regularly observed to respond to both by becoming more cunning and hiding their behavior better. Isn't this what Dr. Melfi told Tony Soprano at the very end? Remember when they were all sitting around, all the shrinks were having dinner, and this topic came up again? And the next day she fired Tony, or fired herself. Anyway, back to Wikipedia. They, psychopaths, have been regularly observed to respond to both by becoming more cunning and hiding their behavior better. It's been suggested that traditional therapeutic approaches actually make them, if not worse, than far more adept at manipulating others and concealing their behavior. They are generally considered to be not only incurable, but also untreatable. Psychopaths also have a markedly distorted sense of the potential consequences of their actions, not only for others, but also for themselves. They do not, for example, deeply recognize the risk of being caught, disbelieved, or injured as a result of their behavior. Yeah, being a psychopath is not a good thing to be, is it? Back to your phone calls. Jim is calling from Mobile, Alabama. Jim, welcome to the program. You're listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, right?
Yes, sir. I'm one of your truck driver listeners.
Oh, all right. Well, welcome aboard, Jim.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, my money goes to Mobile. I live in the truck, actually.
I hear you.
Yeah. Hey, I call my senators and everybody from Alabama every day, and I call Nancy Pelosi's office every day and tell them to put impeachment on the table.
Uh-huh.
You know, I feel, you know, helpless even with the phone calls. What can I do more than that?
Right now, Jim, until Bush declares inoperative the 08 elections, right now, I don't think there's anything we can do. The time may come when people like you and me, though, are going to have to react to the move to lock this country down as a totalitarian state. At that point, then we'll have to do something. If you're calling, if you're trying to make your voice heard to your representatives, the people you decided to vote for to send you to Washington, and they're ignoring you, like most of these representatives are ignoring most Americans, then all we can do is bide our time, I think, just bide our time. And when the moment's right, you'll know it, and so will I, Jim. We'll know what to do then. That's the best I can do, man.
It looks like we're heading for the fourth box.
I'll be damned if it doesn't. All right, Jim, I got to go. Drive safely, please. All right?
Have a good one. Have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you. Take it easy. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Cleaning up America, one flying monkey at a time. It's Mike Malloy. Fat
Charlie the Archie. 26 before the hour, Sheila sent me in, or sent in to me. God, my language is going to hell, isn't it? Sheila sent to me Cindy Sheehan's post at Daily Kos. It says, I can't post her anymore because my potential run for Congress is not on the Democratic ticket. I guess she'll be running as an independent. She says, I've been deeply grateful for all of your support over the years. Your love and kindness helped me through a lot of sleepless nights at Camp Casey back in 05. If Speaker Pelosi does her constitutionally mandated duty and I don't run, then I can come back here and post. I know a lot of you are hostile toward my candidacy. Please understand that I'm doing it for your children and grandchildren and my surviving ones. Love always, Cindy. The Daily Kos has some pretty hard, fast rules. It's my understanding they also don't allow discussion of 9/11, except from the standpoint of what is presented by the Bush crime family. I I don't want to get into a pissing contest with anybody at Daily Kos. I have no reason to do that, but I'm aware that they do practice a few ideas that could be either DLC-oriented or totalitarian-oriented, take your pick. And maybe there's a third choice, and that is Malloy, you're too stupid to understand. So, whatever. Very quickly, from Bob in Groton, Mass, subject line, one reason to hand these powers over to Hillary in 09. I can imagine one case in which Bush would willingly hand these powers over to Hillary or to whomever is allowed to win if that new recipient of those powers is part of the same cabal. Why not maintain the illusion of the home of the free? A lot of people still buy it. Bob, you're becoming a total cynic. A total realist. This is from Cadmium. A couple of times tonight, you said it was Obama and Clinton caught seemingly plotting to eliminate the other candidates from the debates. It was Edwards and Clinton that were caught with open mics. Obama said the more the merrier regarding the debates. Okay, my bad. That's the first correction I've had to make in at least 24 hours. So, has it been that long, Gabby? Thanks for the correction, Cadmium. It was Edwards and Hillary. Okay, back to your phone calls. Mark is calling from San Francisco, listening on the Quake. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Pretty good. You know, I agree with the one email you got about the priorities of impeachment, because that is everything in one box right there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand the reluctance to stop this man when the Constitution mandates it. I just don't understand it.
Well, you know, people are really getting pissed off. We want justice in this country. We are tired of this man and his administration just completely destroying the Constitution, destroying people's lives that are against them or talk against them. It's unbelievable that they're getting away with this. And what he's done to the economy and the middle class. It goes on and on and on. This man has just got to be put out of commission, this whole administration, all of them.
Yeah, well.
So impeachment is one of the other thing that really troubles me is if you look at what happened with Valerie Plame, and what they did to her. Mm-hmm. And Joseph Wilson just told the truth. That's all he did.
Right.
Just told the truth while this filthy administration lied and killed people in the process. I mean, this is the height of my anger is the Valerie Plame case, because it illustrates the administration and why people are so upset and why they want it put out of commission is... Because who are they going to get next, Mike? Progressive talk show host floating down the river?
Yeah. Oh, God. I hope not. But, you're absolutely right. Joe Wilson, who will be on this program next Tuesday night, so tune in. Joe Wilson told the truth. He did what he was tasked to do. That was to go to, was it Nigeria? To find out if Niger, radioactive material was being sent to Saddam Hussein to restart their nuclear program, and he found out it was all lies. And he reported it. All he did was tell the truth. And this is what these sons of bitches do to people who tell the truth that they don't want to hear, or the truth that doesn't correspond with the truth they've created.
You know, Mike, there's a couple other progressive talk show hosts here in San Francisco that are very good, too, and if these people get away with any more than this, then there's no telling what they'll do to people that talk against them. If they did that to Joseph Wilson and they were willing to really put the CIA out of commission, if they're willing to do that, what's next?
I hear you.
They got to go. See you, Mike.
I hear you. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for checking in. BJ writes... the subject line, does Jim know? Jim was the trucker that called in, listening on Sirius. BJ writes, does Jim know the Supreme Court ruled the other day that the Bush administration can cut the Mexican truckers loose in America anytime he wants? I haven't heard a peep about it, BJ writes, except on Tom Hartman's program. I haven't heard a peep about it either, except on Hartman's program. Well, I didn't hear it on Hartman's program, but I know I haven't mentioned it. I don't think. Did we mention that, Kathy? Weeks ago? Oh, did we? We just didn't really get involved in it, right? We didn't follow up on it. Okay. Back to your phone calls. Douglas is calling from Berkeley, California, listening on the Quake. Hey, Douglas.
Hi, Mike.
Hey. Hi.
Hey, I agree with the email that just came in where the woman said, you know, who they let get elected. I've felt, at least since 2000, that our elections are pretty much the grand theater, and the way that Kerry shut himself down really illustrates that. I also feel like the Democrats, aside from maybe a few in the Black Congressional Caucus, and I used to think Russ Feingold, and, of course, Paul Wellstone, and we see what happened to him, and I really think he was murdered. I think they really know something is coming down the line that's going to devastate this country, either peak oil, the dollar becoming worthless, or something awful. And everyone's going to wake up at once and be on the fourth box because it'll be so obvious how they've led us to this catastrophe for their own profit. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, from what I've read, they're getting ready for that.
Well, all these directives that Bush has signed that have been written for him, he doesn't write this stuff. This has the distinct mark of the Federalist Society. These directives about seizing property, about consolidating all three branches of government under Bush's control. This is what the Federalist Society that produced people like John Roberts and Sam Alito, and most of the Supreme Court justices now, literally most, I think five of them are Federalist Society judges.
Right.
Either came through that training or are totally wholly sympathetic to the Federalist idea, which is a strong central government. And or I'm sorry. Whatever. I don't want to get into it with the time available. But they substitute the word Federalist Society for the term Federalist Society for the word totalitarian, and you pretty much have it. These people are as anti-democratic as you can possibly be. So.
Yeah, we're seeing the Democrats are going that way, too, like with Pelosi, what that other woman said. You know, they're not doing their job. They're betraying their oath. And you know how Bush always, like, whatever he accuses someone else of, he's doing it? Like he said this week, they're willing to kill women and children in order to prevent democracy.
Oh, I know.
And it's like, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when he says to the Democrats, like, you're cutting runners, it's like, you know, he bought that property down in South America. Cheney, I'm sure, has property in Dubai because Halliburton just went there.
Right.
It's like they're all stuffing their pockets and they'll split.
Yeah.
Like when something really, I mean, the dollar, you said the other night, worth $5 trillion in debt.
I think it's probably more than that if the real numbers are produced. I've gotten suggestions from people that the real debt of this country is around $11 trillion. I don't know. I've lost count. Here's what I know. From the time of the founding of this republic up until Ronald Reagan, I think the total of all that was $1 trillion of debt. By the time Reagan left office, it was $3 trillion. And if we are now to the point of $11 trillion, it's just amazing, just absolutely astonishing.
You know where a lot of those financial records were? In the World Trade Center.
Yeah, a lot of them were. Hey, listen, thanks, Douglas. Take care, okay?
I
appreciate
you.
All right, appreciate you checking in. Oh, man. Eric writes in, Mike, during the news break, there was a blurb about the diplomatic row between Russia and the U.K., Putin's pissed about the British wanting to get to the bottom of Putin's crew whacking Litvinenko. Didn't Bush say upon first meeting Putin that he looked into Putin's soul and liked what he saw, that Putin was his kind of guy? Yeah, now I get it. Eric. Thanks, Eric. All right. We have a break coming up here, so we might as well just not take a call until we come back. All right, regarding the person who wanted to know about Pelosi constituents, this is signed Pissed Off in San Francisco, and the writer writes, Mike, Nancy Pelosi is my rep. I'm extremely proud that she is the first female Speaker of the House and fully aware of the benefits that her power and position bring to San Francisco. Having said that, if she does not put impeachment back on the table, I will not only support Cindy Sheehan's candidacy, I will take a leave without pay from my cushy six-figure job to work for her campaign. Pelosi has a duty and a responsibility to act, and if she doesn't, her district will remove her in 2008. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Well, I'm a long-tall Texan. I impose justice for the law.
Here's your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. All right, back to your phone calls. Joe is calling from San Diego, listening on KLSC. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You know, the list just goes on and on. You know, I was looking at all this. Jerry Nadell says there's only a few. He's the representative from New York in the 8th Congressional District. Says he's not in favor of impeachment. He's head of the House Judiciary Committee. Says there's only a few months left. He knows damn well there's a year and a half left at the time he said this. There's 18 months.
Who is this?
He's a representative from New York.
Is it Gerald Nadler?
Nadler, I'm sorry.
Nadler, okay. Yeah. Now I know who you mean. Okay.
Right? He knows damn well it only took four months for Clinton.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's saying there's only a few months left. He's got a year and a half. Then you got Obama is in favor of liquid coal, right?
Yeah.
Votes for the tax breaks back in August of 2004 for the rich. Then you got Hillary, collaborates with Rupert Murdoch, right?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Votes for the Iraq war, right? That was very mysterious, right? That meeting with Murdoch.
Yeah, I guess that's just about money or not. Maybe it's about something else, huh?
I don't know. But you know where Murdoch stands, right?
Oh, sure.
Okay, Pelosi, Lockheed, took a $10,000, what was the $10,000 contribution from Lockheed Martin?
Oh, yeah?
Didn't you mention that?
I don't know that I did, but okay.
Let me go on a little further here.
Sure.
Mr. Russ Feingold.
Yeah.
Voted for Alito. Am I right?
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
now,
shocking.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised now.
Yeah.
He doesn't want impeachment? I'm not surprised with that fact sticking out. And last but not least, this rounds out the picture.
All right.
Get a load of this. Harry Reid with his arm around Sammy the Bull Alito. talking to him. Making recommendations and compromises to block the filibuster against Alito.
Yeah.
And it works. Okay?
Okay.
That, now, take all that and put that in a picture by itself.
Yeah, okay.
And the last and final piece is the Reed picture. Right in the front page of the San Diego Union Tribune. And they want to know why. These people here want to know why I won't vote for a Democrat.
Okay.
That's that.
All right. Well, thanks, Joe. I'm glad you called. Take care.
Take it easy.
All right. I will. I'll try to. You too. Frank is calling from Asheville, North Carolina, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Frank. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going good. How about you?
I'm just so happy that I actually found you on Sirius, and before I actually tuned into you via Sirius. I've never heard of you before, but like now nightly, we're just tuned into you, man.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, I've been around for a while. It's just hard to keep track of me because I keep getting fired.
Well, thankfully now you're on Nova M, and they're doing a great job too. And of course, for the rest of America, who's actually listening to you, via the internet or through Sirius? You guys have some amazing local programs coming out of Arizona as well, am I not?
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you found us, Frank.
Listen, yeah, I almost didn't call tonight because I thought, well, I'll be preaching to the choir. I'll let someone else call. And you know, every night where we're listening to you and the callers, we're shaking our heads, yes, and I don't know, but you know, this wonderful quote by Edward R. Murrow, you can't defend liberty and freedom abroad by deserting it at home. And isn't that what we're doing here now?
Absolutely. We're worse than deserting freedom. We're just the Bush crime family is chopping it up like chopped liver. It's just butchering it. And our elected Democratic Party leadership is just content to let it happen, I guess. This is what really pisses me off. It's just hard to understand what the Democrats are doing. I try. I was brought up Democrat. I'll die a Democrat. But I can't understand this.
You know what I mean? I almost thought, well, if I don't call, then the terror, quote unquote, it really succeeds and takes hold if we sit back and say, well, maybe someone else will call in and lend their voice to the movement, to the awareness that's rolling like thunder now. But we can't be gripped by this quote-unquote terror, be it real or fictionalized or cooked up by the neocons. It's important, I believe, to end the silent complicity and speak out about these crimes and high treasons of the Bush crime family.
Mm-hmm. No, I refuse to be turned into some kind of a whimpering coward who sits in the corner of my basement with duct tape and plastic sheeting,
right.
You know, waiting for the bad guys, whoever the bad guys happen to be, you know, to come pillaging and burning into my country. I know who the bad guys are, and I know them by their pillaging and burning, and it's the Bush crime family. That's who it is. They're the ones that have destroyed my country, not a bunch of religious fanatics, if that's what they were, with box cutters, if you really want to believe the official story. So, no, I don't believe in fear. There are things I've been afraid of in my life, and I've almost gotten to the point where fear is something I just don't deal with. And not because I'm some kind of a macho, big-shot guy, but simply because I've tried to train myself to not be afraid. There are certain givens. You live, you may get sick, you do die. There is a lot of joy, there's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering in life. So, you know, why fear? You just face it all. So I simply will not be fearful. I will not live my life in fear. And it sounds like you won't either.
Yeah, and you know, over the weekend we had the opportunity to watch this wonderful Frank Capra film, and I bet you know what I'm going to mention.
Which one?
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, yeah. It's on this weekend?
Well, we actually bought the DVD, and Mike, it brings tears to your eyes, and it makes you wonder why we can't impeach these SOBs.
I know, I hear you. Frank, I got to leave it there. Thanks a lot for tuning
in.
Thank
you for doing a great job, and we love you, and take care. We'll talk to you again.
All right, we'll talk again. Bye. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. Time for Mikey to get a glass of wine. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. Email here from someone who identifies himself as Maloyal One. Maloyal One. Maloyal One writes, please read this on the air. Okay, Mike, here's a tactic that anyone can use at any time, anywhere. It is nonviolent, it is fun, and it's effective. Laugh. Yes, laugh. The next time someone starts a neocon rant, laugh. Long, hard and loud. Laugh as if they just told you the funniest joke ever. Laugh when Bush speaks, when the Democrats cave in. Laugh at Cheney, Pelosi, all of them. Get into the audience of some speech or public event and laugh. What can they do in defense? When people ask you why you're laughing, tell them, this is just so stupid, it's funny! Then keep laughing. The wonder of laughter is this. Others want to join in. Others ask why, and then they listen to the answer. Okay. I tried that one time, and wound up seeing a shrink. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just laughing. That's a good idea, my loyal one. Back to your phone calls. Pat is calling from Oklahoma City. Pat is listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Pat, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I want to suggest to you and the listeners that Nancy Pelosi realizes that the Bush administration is playing a huge chess game, and I think that she's intentionally not bringing impeachment, because if you play your cards too soon and fail, then that gives them all the power. What do you think of that? Do you understand what I mean?
Well, I do, but it's, you know, that would be fine to play a chess game if it were just a matter of two political parties vying for power in the United States in a time where we weren't involved in mass murder and mass death of our own people, our soldiers, our Marines, the sadness, the crushing, unbelievable destruction that Bush is doing to the families of soldiers, the mega death that he and Cheney are promoting around the world, in the crashing of the economy, the destruction of democracy. Sure, then play chess. But I think the reason Pelosi doesn't do what the Constitution requires her to do is because she's afraid. Very simply, she lacks courage. And I think the reason the Democratic Party candidates for the presidency, other than Dennis Kucinich, who are not talking impeachment every time a camera is on them, is because they also are lack courage. They are afraid. Now, what they're afraid of, I have no idea. But it's disgusting. These Democratic leaders are going to watch as Bush continues to do. You know, we've been looking at this for 6 years, okay? Ever since Bush started making it clear after he stole power from Al Gore in 2000 that he wasn't playing by anybody's rules, the Constitution, international law, domestic law, tradition, nothing. Geneva Convention was going to set his own rules, and the Democratic Party leadership has gone along with this. And what has happened? Well, the first thing that happened was they lost their majority in the Senate. The next thing that happened was that they lost whatever support they had from the American people. Do you know what the approval rating of Congress is right now, Pat? It's lower than Bush's. It's around 14%. So, no, I'm not buying the chess game at all.
I got to tell you, Mike, you know, I'm 50 years old, and I never imagined it. The thought never occurred to me in my whole life that I have to worry about the things that I have to worry about today.
I hear you.
As a woman, I'm terrified of losing my job. My husband and I have been driving coast-to-coast truck for 20 years together.
Uh-huh.
I'm afraid of the Christian right taking over and telling our country that women can't vote, can't work outside the home, you mm-hmm. can't own a home or a bank account.
Well, you see, all these things you're saying, Pat, that's why to me it's so important to remove this criminal administration from office and not through the ballot box, because the ballot box can be jiggered and rigged, but to remove them as the Constitution requires, and that is to indict them with articles of impeachment and then take the trial to the Senate and see where it winds up. And that's why I'm so disappointed with the Democratic Party leadership.
Well, they're ruining my life. I'll tell you what, I never paid attention to politics before I voted for Gore mm-hmm. when I started listening to Bush, and I'll tell you what, my head's out of the sand, and I'm never going to stop paying attention to politics again.
Good, Pat.
And,
good
you
for
know,
you.
I'll always be involved, and I'm always paying attention. I love your show. Have a good evening, Mike.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Take care. Take care. Gene is calling from Napa, California. Gene's listening on The Quake also. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program.
Mike, it's great to talk with you again.
My pleasure.
You know, pursuing impeachment and punishment for treason and war crimes is imperative.
Yeah.
And your caller, Mark, earlier said it's about justice. And the Dems approach this merely as a matter of expediency. That is, only considering political advantage and self-interest alone. All these Dems' responses about impeachment we hear all the time are excuses of expediency, like there's no time, it's too risky, it'll take too long, it's not a sure thing, the media will crucify us. These are all excuses having nothing to do with the passion for justice.
That's right.
And what Dems must have is a passion for justice as deep as the passion the constitutional framers had when they devised this legal safeguard called impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dems' hesitation reveals their lack of interest in justice instead of constitutional justice, the Dems would rather the American people be subjugated and endangered under illegal Bush world injustice and treasonous schemes. And Bush has these pretend, phony, made-up non-laws of presidential directives and criminal theft of power. The Dems are trading justice for Bush injustice, and it's just driving me up the wall.
Yeah, I agree, Jean. I don't understand why the Democrats are doing this. I wish I did. Thanks, Jean. I appreciate you checking in. Mike is calling from Westminster, South Carolina. Mike's listening via the Internet. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How's it going? It's great to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about I've listened to a few of your callers. You know, one of the callers that was talking about the presidential candidates left out the fact that, Biden voted for this atrocious bankruptcy bill. But
oh, that's right. That's right.
You know, so, the only one that hasn't taken any money from any PACs or a special interest or any of that is Edwards. He's the only one that's not doing that.
How about Kucinich?
Yeah, well, Kucinich may be also, I don't know, I'm talking about the top-tier candidates in both parties.
Okay.
Edwards is the only one that hasn't taken any money from the PACs or any of the lobbyists. But, we were talking about the boxes. You were talking about the boxes, the four
right.
boxes. You know, I guess you've been watching all the corporate media coverage of Cindy Sheehan's trip from Texas to Washington and on to New York.
You know what, Mike? I have not. I don't know how I missed it,
yeah.
but I haven't. Have they been treating her bad?
Don't expect to see any coverage because you're not going to see any.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
the soapbox, the first box, it was gone a long time ago.
Right,
Corporate media took the soapbox away.
Right.
This last group with the electronic voting machines took the ballot box away.
That's true.
The Libby overturning of his sentence, basically the commutation of his sentence, took the ballot, took the jury box.
There goes the jury box.
But I want to tell you about one more box before we go to that fourth box.
All right.
And that is, we have got to get out of the big box stores. People have to start not buying anything but necessities. Listen,
that's so true.
Hey, I'm watching. You know, the stock market reached 14,000 today. Okay.
Yeah.
But if you listen to the news, 40% of the money is coming from overseas.
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in such bad shape here. The previous caller talking about whether it's going to be the peak oil crisis or whether it's going to be the dollar falling or whatever it's going to be. Listen, we can bring this economy here down enough that we can get back at these corporate people just by stop shopping.
I hear you. Mike, I got a break here. Thanks, pal. You call in again. It's always good to hear from you. Take care, okay?
Buddy.
All
good
right.
to talk to you.
We'll be right back.
American Way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Back to your phone calls. This is very strange for me tonight to be taking. I think we've taken more calls tonight, haven't we, Kathy, than we have in any given four nights on this program. Making Ian Huff work for his paycheck back in Phoenix at the flagship station. All right, back to your calls. Nancy is calling from Winters, California, listening on KSAC. Hey, Nancy, welcome
Hi.
To the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, I think you must be taking more calls because I got through.
Yes, you did.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on Congress members not pursuing impeachment. I hadn't heard about Feingold. I was really shocked when you said that tonight.
Oh, my God. Yeah, last night or yesterday, he apparently had posted something at Daily Kos explaining why he was not going to push his House colleagues for impeachment.
Yeah, and I know I have been making phone calls and on that for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at this last Saturday, I was down in the Bay Area, and I went to Congressman Pete Stark's town hall meeting. He has one every month.
Uh-huh.
And he's a progressive. In fact, as I understand it, he's one of the founders of the Progressive Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying the same thing. It's the same line about not wanting to tie up, bring government to a stop for the next 18 months, and we need to get out of Iraq and health and education and blah, blah, blah. And people were very upset. There was probably over 100 people at the meeting, and most of the people there did not agree with him, and they let him know it. And apparently the meeting last month got pretty contentious because of the same issue.
Why do you think, Nancy, that these Democrats, especially the ones who identify themselves as progressives, refuse to consider impeachment? What's your take on this? Because it's got me baffled.
I think there's a number of things. I think that, I think I just wonder, who got anthrax? It was Democratic, and the media. I think so. There may be some of that sort of thing. I know I saw Ray McGovern, the retired CIA analyst, speak last summer, and somebody pointedly asked him if people were being blackmailed, and he said that that does happen. And then I think the other thing kind of ties in with what President Eisenhower said about the military-industrial complex. If you saw Why We Fight, the documentary, Eisenhower's son said that his original statement was going to say military-industrial congressional complex.
Really?
And he dropped that. And so I've been putting that back in there because I think there's probably people who are making money off this. Dianne Feinstein's husband certainly is.
Yeah.
So I think maybe there's a little of this and a little of that. It is puzzling. And I was shocked when I have gone to Stark's meetings over the last couple of years, not every time because I don't live down there, but and I've seen a progression of him becoming taking weaker and weaker stands against what the administration's doing. And I've seen the meetings becoming more and more contentious. People are upset, and they're letting him know it. So I don't know that I have any answers except to say to everybody, I think we're kind of on our own, except for, with a few exceptions, and I think we need to stick together and keep pushing for what we think is right.
Well, that reaches a point where it could become more than just contentious. I mean, if we really do come to the conclusion as a people, as a nation, those of us who care anymore, and I think we number in the millions, that it's being taken from us, and it's being replaced with totalitarianism of some sort. I call it corporatism, which is just another word for fascism. Then the time's going to come, don't you agree, Nancy, when either we're going to have to shut up and live under fascism or resist?
Yeah, I think that that's what it's coming down to. And from what I've seen at these meetings, people are not going to shut up. They kept bringing the issue up over and over again. And another thing I thought that was odd with him, and I've seen him do this a number of times at different meetings, one woman asked his opinion of, how Bush's, executive order or whatever.
Yes.
He had done about how he could take over the government if there was an emergency. Okay, and she was concerned about, what if he declares martial law and cancels the next election and so forth and so on. And Stark just pretty much ridiculed her and said, gee, I'm pretty radical, but even I hadn't thought of that. And I went up to the woman later and I told her, I said, and he's done similar things at different meetings where if he doesn't like what somebody is saying, like I guess at the last meeting somebody brought up impeachment and he was very condescending and then they got into a shouting match. I hear your music.
Yeah, okay. I got to go. Nancy, thanks. You make some very good points. I appreciate you checking
good
in.
Good talking to you, Mike.
All right, we'll talk again. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. This is Nova M Radio.
Was it all just a lie anyway? like they say. See, Mr. President.
Until attitudes change about freedom in America, we've got to protect our homeland in a new way.
Oh, shut up. It's about 25 before the hour. Spitfire writes in, what the Democrats are afraid of is this. They're afraid the Bush will jump over his desk with a lightsaber. What? Back to your phone calls. Ron is calling from Indianapolis. Ron is listening via Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Ron, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I was going to say, I used to be political locally, and now I drive truck, and, it's harder to get political.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that maybe we really need is more grassroots on the Democratic level. I mean,
yes.
If we're not getting it on the Congress, maybe it's time to go to the mayor's. Time to go to the Democratic, meetings and, try to arouse these people,
Well, a lot of that has occurred. There have been cities and town councils and legislatures that have passed resolutions demanding, as much as they can, these are all symbolic, impeachment proceedings against Bush and Cheney, demanding an end to the Iraq War. And I think that's just the beginning. Once those resolutions are passed, that's just the beginning. That's not the end, because a resolution really doesn't carry with it any legal weight or it's a reflection of populist feeling within a community or a county or a city or a state. And I think you're absolutely right. It has to be followed up. There has to be, once the people make themselves heard, and realize that their county commission or their state government or their town council is going to respond, then the pressure needs to be applied to take it to the next level. But you're on to the key to all of this, Ron, which is grassroots organizing from the bottom up. The people that are sitting in the top positions are ignoring us, even the so-called progressive Democrats. So,
yeah, can I say one other thing?
Absolutely.
Okay, the only other thing I want to mention was, I don't know if you listened to Tom Hartman today, but he had the ex-treasurer, I believe it was, for the Ronald Reagan administration.
Oh, Paul Craig Roberts.
Right, guy who brought the Reaganomics, and this guy said he'll never vote Republican again.
Right.
And he said the only way that he sees, this turning around, because there's a landslide, he feels, going towards the Democrats the next election. But he said that, his fear is that Bush and Cheney are going to try something. The same as what you're saying, the same as what everybody's saying. And my feeling, and the one thing that I do want to get up on a soapbox about, is say the only power that Bush hasn't used yet is that nuclear warhead power. And I don't think the guy, is going to be inhibited to do it. If he can use it against Pakistan with Musharraf's blessings or whatever, I'm just fearful. And I believe, like everybody's saying tonight, we really need to start this grassroots effort. And that's what the Reagan guy said was the same thing. We really need to start organizing meetings. He said that's the only thing that's going to really bring attention.
Well, I think you're right. And I think Paul Craig Roberts is right. And I'm real glad Hartman had him on. To give people a chance to hear a former Reagan administration official, tell it like it is where it concerns these bastards. Ron, thanks a lot for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. Take care. Bob is calling from Fort Lauderdale. Bob's listening on WINZ. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Keep it up, buddy. You're a voice that's needed out there. I just wanted to, because of all of this, I've started to look up the writings and quotes of Thomas Jefferson, basically.
Uh-huh.
Because of the incredible documents that he left us, and to try and get a sense of the man beyond those documents, compare him to the politicians we've got today. And I got to tell you something. I mean, you know, it'll bring tears to your eyes to read, you know, some of his writings and quotations, you know, because there's nobody around like that anymore. You know, these guys didn't, you know, didn't have their hands out from, you know, looking for handouts from corporations. And I think the lady that you had on before hit the nail on the head. They're either getting blackmailed or they're making money. I mean, when I saw Bill Clinton and Hillary after the State of the Union address laughing and yucking it up with Cheney, I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, I'd figure you'd need to get deloused if you got within 10 feet of this guy.
Oh, man, I hear you. Yeah.
You know, and these suckers are yucking it up. You know, plus I think a few weeks back I heard that she had to divest herself of some stocks in her blind, you know, quote unquote blind trust.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it, because she owned stock in some of the military contractors.
Right.
I mean, I think it's going to wind up in the streets, buddy. That's where I think it's, you know. It
sure looks that way. Some days, you know, I get up and I look out the window here and, you know, the sun is shining and I look out the back window at the woods behind our house and I open the doors and I listen to the birds and I think, okay, Molly's going to go to her little art lesson. And I think, Jesus, everything is normal. And then it slams me. Everything is not normal.
Yeah,
man.
If you'd allow me to read just one quick thing from Jefferson.
Go ahead.
He said, "It is rare that the public sentiment decides immorally or unwisely, and the individual who differs from it ought to distrust and examine well his own opinion."
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I mean, you don't have people like that around anymore, you know.
Yeah, read some Madison, too, when you have some time, because Madison also had some very strong ideas about the negative influence of power. So check him out, too. Bob, good to hear from you, man. Take care, okay?
You too, buddy. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you, sir. Take care. Ken is calling from Fort Lauderdale, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Mike. First, my unqualified respect and appreciation for all you put out there.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. You know.
And your callers, for the most part, are very much on track. You know, my take on why Dems don't speak up is just quite simply because the difference between Democrats and Republicans is virtually indistinguishable these days.
Yeah.
And that some say, maybe it's a cliche, that Democrats just may leave a little more on the table. But I think the party, Democrats need to know, and I left the party about a year ago. I was a Democrat all my adult life. My family has been generations of Democrats, and I couldn't be prouder not to be associated with them anymore. But I think the party needs to remember that they won nothing this past election cycle. It was Republicans that lost it, and that's just proof that the public is so far ahead of the party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my piece of nothing local congressman, Ron Klein, who ran the weakest campaign against the Clay Shaw, he didn't win it.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Shaw lost it because of what he stood for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I have one last comment about Florida probably has two of the worst senators in the country. We have Mel Martinez, who happens to be the RNC chairman. Now, if it's not illegal, it's certainly unethical to have a party chairman as your senator, because you know how he's going to vote on every point.
Right. He's not going to vote the interests of the people. That's for damn sure.
Exactly. But almost to the right of him is Bill Nelson,
mm-hmm.
who shows up 60 years with his cup in his hand looking for a vote. And he's literally to the right of Lieberman and Zell Miller, and he couldn't even be bothered to show up to Congress this past overnight.
Oh, my God.
So it's a sad state of affairs. Okay, maybe they didn't come quite close to 60 votes, but it would have been nice if my senator, who I voted for by default, and I called his office afterwards and I said I would have been better off voting for Catherine Harris than Bill Nelson.
Yeah.
It's just a sad state of affairs, but it's either to the streets or some kind of viable third party that won't split the Electoral College down the way it does. And my choice is Gore, but what do I know?
I hear you. Ken, thanks, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right, appreciate you checking in. Take care. Jeffrey in Chicago writes, "Dear Mike, there's an old truism. What is the best way to kill a revolutionary? The answer is to give him or her a mortgage. Most people are working too hard to keep their small piece of land with a building on it or an apartment in a condominium to get too involved with politics. As Chucklenut said, it's hard to put food on your family. That's what the establishment has counted on for years. Yeah, I understand that. I sure do. Wait a minute. What's this? This is from Marcia. The caller was wrong. Russ Feingold did not vote to confirm Sammy the Fish Alito. Feingold apparently did vote yes on Roberts, but not on Alito. Okay, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate the clarification. Thank God I'm not the only one that makes mistakes on this program, right? All right. We got a break. All right, we'll take a break and then come back and see how many calls we can get in here at the end of the program. So, we have I've got kind of an important announcement for you when we come back, too. So stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
There is freedom within. There is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge in a paper cup. There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost, but you never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me.
About 10 before the hour, very important announcement here. Today is Ian Huff's birthday. Ian is our co-producer of this program and engineer, runs everything from the flagship station in Phoenix, KPHX. And it's also the birthday of one of our regular correspondents who shall be identified as SCK. But it's Ian Huff's birthday. Do we have a happy birthday here, Kathy? Do we have anything? Oh, that's what we're playing. All right. Now, we very seldom do this, but Ian, we'd like you to open your mic and say hello to your huge fan base.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Ian. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. That's really nice of you.
This is what, 29, 30?
36.
36. Oh, my God. When I met you in Phoenix, you didn't seem to be a day over 35. Well, happy birthday, Ian, and thanks for all you do.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. And also thanks to the rest of the crew who made the program possible tonight, our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. Of course, Ian, Billy Foster, our CIO at Nova M Radio, and also the man who monitors the chat room. Thanks to Mark Marshall and the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board, and also our executive producer, she who must be obeyed, Catherine Bay. All right, back to your phone calls. Leanne. Leanne is calling from San Diego, listening on KLSD. Hi, Leanne. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you, Mike? I'm a founding member and very proud of it. I love your show. I listen every night.
Thank you. Thank you.
I didn't want to leave, but I hope I'm not the last caller because I have a little bit of depressing news. I heard on Keith Olbermann's show tonight that the Democrats are fearful, the Congress is fearful of becoming a party of, like, complainers. So they are thinking that they're going to even be doing less. Most likely less investigations.
Yeah, I saw that part of Olbermann's show.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I try to catch as much of it as I can before we go on the air, and it was pretty disturbing. Yeah.
And I just about jumped out of my chair.
I
just have one question for you. If we don't vote Democrat, and then all there is left is that Republicans, because if we don't vote for the Democrats, the Republicans will win. So what are our options then? what you said like a couple of weeks ago. There are none, and we're, our democracy is dead, basically.
I don't have an answer. I wish I did. I don't.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of think I'm going to start looking for another place to live, like out of this country, because, to be honest with you, I don't see it getting better.
You're not alone in feeling that or expressing it that way. I get a notable, I don't want to say a lot, but a notable number of emails from people who say essentially the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been fighting for the last 6 years, doing everything. I call Pelosi all the time. I call Boxer, Feinstein, and I'm getting tired of it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, other than, like you said, the fourth box, there's not going to be much left to do. And you know what? Sometimes things just got to let it play out and get really, really bad. And I guess if that's the case, I'm not going to hang around here and watch it, you know, go down with the rest of these people. So I might just be out of here.
I hear you.
Well, you have a good night.
All right. Thanks, Leanne.
And I'll keep listening.
Thank
until
you.
I move.
Thank you.
Take care.
Hope to hear from you again. I almost said to Leanne, well, if you're the last one out, will you make sure the lights are turned off? God. Jeff is calling from San Diego. Jeff is listening on KLSD. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going? That last caller kind of stole my thunder because I was actually going to talk about at what point do you become totally pessimistic or pragmatic and actually look for an exit strategy? And exiting meaning leaving the country. I mean, I'm all for fighting as much as possible, but, you know, you kind of like need some support from somewhere. I mean, you actually need, you know, somebody in the government to actually, you know, help your cause along. I mean, grassroots are great, but you kind of like need somebody in power to actually think that you have a shot to go anywhere, and I'm just wondering at what point do you just give up and leave?
Yeah, I've had that thought. I've wrestled with that idea. While I refuse to bow to the fear, whether the fear is about some imaginary terrorist attack or the fear is about the assault on my country by internal forces. And yet at the same time, I have the same question. At what point do you say, look, this is just pointless? I'm not there yet. And I don't think you are either, are you?
No, not quite yet. But I definitely would, you know, if I can see it coming, you know, I don't really want to, you know, fight for hopeless causes. I'm definitely not one of those kind of a people. I mean, seems like, you know, fighting for our democracy almost mirrors the fight in Iraq. I mean, we could, you know, be in a stalemate mode for a while, but, you know, are you actually accomplishing anything?
Yeah, I hear you. All right. I hear you loud and clear. Jeff, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you checking in, okay? Take care. We're just about out of time. I don't want to start another caller because and give you 4 seconds and we have to go. But anyway, thank you for participating in the program tonight. However you did that, I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy. Happy birthday, Ian. I'll see you tomorrow night.